right, there I am. Okay. So as we begin this morning, in Herb Miller's book entitled Money Is Everything, he shares a story about a pastor from Georgia by the name of Truett Gannon. It says, growing up, a friend of Gannon's father owned a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. It was a wine-colored Harley with all the bells, all the whistles. Gannon loved that motorcycle, and his greatest thrills as a teenager were the times he was allowed to ride that motorcycle. One day he approached his father's friend and asked him if he could ride his Harley again that day. The man's response has stuck with Gannon ever since. The man said to Gannon, Truett, you can ride my Harley anytime you want to, anywhere you want to, and as often as you want to. Just remember to ride it like it was mine and not yours. Reflecting on that statement later in life, Gannon says, God has given us full and free use of this world, our lives, and the possessions he has placed in our hands. All he asks is that we use it like it was his and not ours. The bottom line is this, everything belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. God is the source and creator of all things. Therefore, we are not owners, rather trustees or managers of all that God has placed in our hands. So with that in mind, what does that mean for us today? Well, it means that since the world in which we live belongs to God, we're to use and care for our world as though it was God's and not ours. It means that since our very lives belong to God, we're to live and care for our bodies as though we belong to God and not ourselves. And it means that since all we have, all our worldly goods, belong to God, we're to use and care for our possessions, knowing that it's all God's to begin with. And so, since it all belongs to God, the question often asked is this, well, how are we to give? What does giving look like for Jesus' followers, for disciples of Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible actually teaches that giving is essential to discipleship. And because giving is so important, it's important that we know and understand what good growth giving is all about. And while I'm aware that Consecration Sunday is generally not viewed as one of the most exciting Sundays of the year, the truth is, however, that what we celebrate on Consecration Sunday is not an annual fundraising campaign. Rather, it's a lifestyle to which God has called us. Believe it or not, every Sunday is really Consecration Sunday. So let's define our terms a bit here this morning. Biblical stewardship, as Jesus taught it, emphasizes the need of the giver to give as part of her or his spiritual relationship with God, not the need of the church to receive. Stewardship, as Jesus taught it, emphasizes the need to give because of our gratitude to God. Not because the church has bills to pay or because giving is our duty as a disciple. A pastor was announcing the offering one Sunday morning, and he says, you know, we never take collections during worship on Sundays. He said, however, we do receive an offering. The pastor was stating an important reality about biblical stewardship. Offerings are always a spiritual matter involving the giving of ourselves. Fundraising is a financial matter involving the paying of bills. One term belongs to the church, offering. The other, collection, belongs to the United Way. So today is Consecration Sunday, and today the focus is on how God is calling each of us to respond, not on what the church needs in order to meet a budget or pay the bills. So, If you have a Bible with you, I invite you to take hold of it and follow along as together we take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and what God tells us about giving. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. Let's get started. So this morning we're going to explore the question, why do we give? And since giving is essential to discipleship, the bottom line here, again, is not the budget total, but remember it's all about discipleship. The bottom line is not where we're headed, but who is our head? Who is really Lord of our lives? So what does true, effective, Jesus-centered giving look like? Well, this morning, we're going to explore some promising possibilities. First, we give in order to express gratitude. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. As the Apostle Paul talks about the generosity of the Macedonian churches, he says, they have been severely tested by the troubles they went through, but their joy was so great that they were extremely generous in their giving. The Christians in Macedonia had gone through trial after trial after trial, and yet persevered because of the grace and strength they received through their faith in the risen Christ. Seeing Jesus work in their lives in such a powerful way brought great joy to each of them. And out of joy, out of gratitude, the Macedonian Christians gave. They gave to express their gratitude for what God had done in their lives through the person of Jesus Christ. Likewise, God invites us to give as an expression of our gratitude for what God has done in our lives, for the help and hope God provides each of us each and every day. Remember, the offering plates are not collection plates. They are gratitude plates. We give to express thanksgiving, to express gratitude for the difference Jesus makes in our lives. Second, we give in order to be involved. Listen to what Paul said about the Macedonian churches beginning in verse 3. He says, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Now, isn't that awesome? The Macedonians were eager to give because they wanted to get involved in meeting the needs and hopes of others in Jesus' name. Likewise, God calls us to give as a way to be involved in fulfilling the vision God has given us of reaching people far from God. We give because we want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, because we want our lives to count, because we understand that God has called, redeemed, and set us apart to do His work in the world. We are the hands and feet of Christ. So we give because we have seen, we have observed the radiant smile on the face of Sunday school children racing down the halls to meet their parents. We have seen in a small group in the church, which has brought encouragement and help to our lives and nurtured us spiritually in ways that we never thought possible. We give because we love how the music adds energy to our worship services. We give because we've observed children leaving the center for creative childcare with their parents, where they're not only being prepared for kindergarten, but where they're learning that Jesus loves them. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We give because we've been in the church on Wednesday evenings and witnessed students worshiping in the core and children learning about Jesus through Compass Kids Children's Ministry. We give because of our involvement in the warehouse where God's love meets practical needs and the knowledge that through service ministries like that, we're restoring help and hope to broken lives. We give because we want to care for our facilities so that we can continue to reach more and more people with the good news about Jesus Christ. Jesus is our help in this life and our hope for the life to come, and the world needs to know that Jesus is the answer. That's why we give. Bottom line, we give in order to be involved in something bigger than ourselves. The story is told of an American soldier who was cleaning up a bomb-struck German cathedral following World War II. Among the rubble, he found a beautiful statue of Jesus, intact except for the hands. He searched in vain for the hands. Finding no hands, this young soldier decided to put a sign in front of the statue. The sign read as if Jesus was talking. This statue of Jesus with no hands was saying, "Your hands are my hands. Your hands are my hands." We give because we are Christ's hands. His hands are our hands. We give because God wants to use our hands to make a difference in the world around us, one person, one need at a time. We give in order to be involved. Third, we give in order to express commitment. I know commitment is not a fun word today in 21st century America, but we give in order to express commitment. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, we read, "And they did not do as we expected," talking about those Macedonians, "but they gave themselves first to the Lord." The Macedonian Jesus followers gave themselves first to the Lord. In other words, they gave as an expression of their commitment, their devotion to the risen Savior. The story is told of Emil Mettler, who owned a little restaurant in London, England. Once, as a customer was paying his bill, Mettler opened his cash register, you can tell how long ago this was, in view of the customer. There in the midst of the bills and coins was a 6-inch nail. The customer asked Mettler what the nail was doing there. Mettler responded, "I keep this nail with the money to remind me of the price Jesus paid for my salvation and of what I owe him in return." Jesus-centered giving means giving as an expression of our commitment. It means giving from the foot of the cross. Giving that never forgets the price Jesus paid for our salvation and the life we owe him in return. Lives we gladly and with joy offer in response to Jesus' amazing grace. And last, we give in order to grow. We give in order to grow. Check out verse 7. It says this: "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." God reminds us through the Apostle Paul that we are to excel in the grace of giving because we give in order to facilitate our steady growth as disciples of Jesus Christ. Bottom line, God calls us to give in order to grow our relationship with Him. Again, from Herb Miller's book, Money Is Everything, he says that Jesus outlined three acts that relate us to God: prayer, fasting, and giving. The use of money provides a real way to participate in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Someone once said that the world uses people to make money, while the church uses money to make people. We give in order to grow as maturing disciples of Jesus. That's why God invites us to grow one step at a time towards a tithe, returning to God 10% of the financial resources that He has placed in our hands. Not because God's the owner and we're the managers, not because it's God's money and God can tell us whatever He wants us to do with His money, and not because the church needs money. You see, God does not need money in our possession. Think about this. God does not need the money in our possession to get things done in the world. I mean, since God is God, and He's a big God, a God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ever ask or imagine, God can make things happen and expand His church with us or without us. But God does call us to excel in the grace of giving because of our need to give for our own faith development. You see, when we return to God a proportion of the wealth He's placed in our hands, the proportion of the wealth we have been entrusted with, we are trusting God with our lives. We are trusting God to provide for us with the resources remaining, and when we trust God in an unknown area, we grow because we realize that God honors His promise. Bottom line, because we give because of our need to give in order to grow in our walk with Christ. So again, what we are finally about on Consecration Sunday is, remember, discipleship. It's all about discipleship. The bottom line is not the budget total or what the church needs. The bottom line is discipleship. The bottom line is not where we're headed, but who is our head? Who is truly Lord and King of our lives? In his book, Right on the Money, Brian Bonite shares the story of a missionary in the African nation of Chad who was preaching in a native church in that country when the time came for the offering. The missionary led the prayer for the offering. He prayed passionately, fervently, and convincingly. He prayed that God would lead the people to see their offering as an expression of faithfulness, discipleship, and love for God. In that congregation sat a woman who literally had nothing to give. When the offering plate finally came to her, she looked at it for a moment. Then she slowly rose from her seat and stepped out into the aisle. Quietly, she placed the offering plate on the floor. Then, in a humble and beautiful act of devotion, she simply stepped into the offering plate. When the offering plates are passed in the church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, or when we give online, by text, or through automated giving, remember, it's not the dollar amount that matters. It's the name. It's the name, the representation of you and me that makes the difference. When we give, that gift represents you and me standing in the offering plate. And standing in the plate week after week after week, we need to sing with all the gusto God gives us. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. So remember, God reminds us through the Apostle Paul that we give because it's essential to discipleship, to our growth in our walk with Jesus. And what today is about is only about discipleship. The bottom line is never that the church needs money. Never about the budget. We don't even know what budget is next year. It's always about discipleship. The bottom line, remember, is not where we're headed, but who is our head? Who is our chief? Who is our king? Who is our Lord? And before the ushers pass out estimate of giving cards to those who need one, I want to share the following. So ushers, if you would kind of get ready, I'm going to invite you to come forward here in a moment. So as they're getting ready, here's a few things I want to share with you. First, if you are new to our service today, please, please, please do not be uncomfortable. This is something we only do once a year. You're just fortunate to be here on this day. And we are not asking you to fill out an estimate of giving card. If you are a member, if you're a regular attender, we sincerely hope that you will join Tammy and me in filling out a card as an expression of our commitment. But please know that this is a voluntary process. So I'll now ask the ushers if they'll come forward, and they're going to hand out the first person on the end of each row a few estimate of giving cards. And if you're on the end, if you'll just pass it down. Some of us received ours last week. Some of us may not have received ours yet. But just pass them down. If you don't want it, just keep passing. And then they get to the other end, just pass them all back to the end, and they'll come back through and pick the extras up. So if you need a card when it comes, take one. If you don't, pass them one way and then pass them back to the end of the aisle. Now, as they're doing that, a couple other instructions. First, when we leave the sanctuary this morning, we're invited to go directly to the core, the upper level of our church. The food is being prepared for us right now. Now, there will be no delay in serving. Please begin going through the serving line as soon as you enter our fellowship hall, enter the core. We will say the blessing at the end, after everybody has received it. You know, for some of us, it'll be before we eat. For some of us, it'll be in the middle. And for some of us, it'll be all over. But that's okay. We'll say the blessing when everyone has had the opportunity to go through the line. Now, each time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the service of Holy Communion, we take in our hands a piece of bread and dip it in a chalice filled with grape juice. During those moments, those elements symbolize the deepest meanings of our faith. You know, the bread and the cup symbolize Jesus' body and his blood shed that we might have life and have it to the full. Those elements symbolize the deepest meanings of our faith. And during the next few minutes, when we take an ordinary pencil or an ordinary pen and an estimate of giving card, those items symbolize our spiritual commitment in response to the love God has given each of us in Jesus Christ. And remember, they symbolize you and me. They symbolize you and me standing in the offering plate, offering our all to the great all in all. So, if you would, take your estimate of giving card, and I realize some of us have had a chance to already fill those out, but if you would, if you'll take it, and at the top it says, take one step up for Christ and his church. You know, every year throughout the time we've been doing the Consecration Sunday, we've invited people to let us all grow one step together, grow one step, increase our giving one step at a time. And so it says, in response to God's love, and as a concrete expression of my faith in and commitment to Christ and his church, I plan to take one step up in my giving. And then there are options there. Step up beyond tithing. Step up to tithing. Step up toward tithing. And then underneath that, it says, my commitment is. So as we prayerfully respond and identify your response, our response to how we will give in the coming year, put in the amount, and whether it's per week, per month, or other. And then if it represents an increase over this year, then just check that box. And then, if you would, fill in all the information at the bottom, even though if you are positive that we know it, it's always just to make sure we've got it accurate to fill in that information. Now, after we pray together, we're invited to take whatever time we need to meditate and complete our card. When we have done that, please move quietly to the front of the church. Since others will no doubt still be working on their cards. And as you come forward quietly, place your card in our church, on our communion table this morning. Chuck Havens made this a long time ago. I didn't even realize we had it. But if you look at the front, it's really cool. But there's a slot there where you can just come forward and place your estimate of giving card in the slot as a worshipful act of dedication. Now, we ordinarily conclude our worship service with a benediction. The final amen at the end of a benediction means, so be it. Well, today we close our service with each worshiper saying a final amen, so let it be, by placing her or his card in that slot provided on our church. After you place the card in the slot provided, please leave the sanctuary on your way to the celebration luncheon upstairs in the fellowship hall in the core, being mindful again of the others who are still completing their cards. Now, before we fill out our estimate of giving cards, please join me responsively in our litany of dedication. The litany will be on our screens. So let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, from you comes every good and perfect gift. We give you praise and thanks for all that you have done on our behalf through your Son, Jesus Christ. And with glad and generous hearts, we offer these commitments to you for your work through the Urbana United Methodist Church. With glad and generous hearts, our gifts support Compass Kids Children's Ministry, Unbreakable Student Ministry, Venture Crew Scout Troop, Vacation Bible School, the Center for Creative Child Care. With glad and generous hearts, our gifts support Stephen Ministry, Prayer Teams, Prayer Quilts, Van Ministry. With glad and generous hearts, our gifts support Sunday School classes, small groups, Financial Peace University, and other opportunities to connect, grow, and care for one another as a church family. With glad and generous hearts, our gifts support the warehouse, mission trips, the Serve a Soldier 5K, Trunk or Treat, missionaries, chaplains in the armed services, disaster relief throughout our nation and around the world. With glad and generous hearts, our gifts support worship opportunities in our sanctuary and the Gloria Theater, Music Ministry, Revival Ohio, Champaign County. With glad and generous hearts, our gifts turn on the lights, heat and air condition our buildings, provide insurance, and maintain our facilities for the glory of God. With glad and generous hearts, our gifts are used to ignite faithful service and reach people far from God as we pursue God's dream to meet the needs and hopes of others in Jesus' name. With glad and generous hearts, we bring our offering and intentions and dedicate them to you, O Lord. Use us and all that we have to extend your kingdom throughout our community and around the world through Jesus Christ our Lord.